As you know, I've been doing a series called Discovering Jesus, and I want to do part four. I think this is the last one today. It's called Jesus, the Soon Coming King. You know, as different things have been happening in the world, and a lot of people are concerned, especially people in the church are concerned about the end time, and they have a great interest in these things, such as the rapture and the Antichrist and Battle of Armageddon and Christ's return. In fact, yesterday, a man was asking me about the end times. We had met him and was talking to him, and he found out I was a minister, and he's asking me about wanting to know something about the end times, you know. And I remember my dad and my father-in-law, Brother Tipton, and dad and him used to discuss eschatology a lot. And then neither one of them ever preached on it, but they would discuss it one another. My dad hardly ever mentioned it because he mentioned Jesus coming again because he said, really, nobody really understands all of that. And then you got to get into Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation and put it all together and draw from events. But anyway, they were talking about that during World War II, all the preachers were trying to figure out who the Antichrist was. And all of them's Antichrist died. So they all quit, you know. There have been some people in recent years that have tried to figure out who the Antichrist was. And they've died too. So, actually nobody's going to know until the time. It's what the Bible says. The big issue is, are you ready for his return? You know, many songs have been written dealing with the coming of Jesus Christ. But Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote one called "The King Is Coming." The King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. You know, in the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 22, Jesus said through John, talking to John there, said in verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly." And verse 20, "Surely I'm coming quickly." So we see in these verses that Jesus is coming soon. Now, that was all said a long time ago. But as we begin to look at this, somebody said, "Man, that was over 2,000 years ago." Well, maybe it was, but surely it was. But Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8, "One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day to the Lord." So, looking at it from that perspective, it hadn't been that very long. It hadn't been that long ago. Right? In many places in the Word of God, it talks about Jesus would come suddenly. When he comes, he'll come suddenly, you know, with no forewarning. And Paul says it there in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." So we need to keep in mind that no one really knows when he's going to come again. But some people try to set dates, you know. I've heard it all my life, this on this date. And a bunch of people went out and stood, several years ago, a bunch of people went out and stood on a mountain and waiting for Jesus to come, you know. Everybody's missed it. At least 7 scriptures tell us no one knows when Christ will return. Matthew 24:36, 24:42, 24:44, 25:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, 2 Peter 3:10, Revelation 16:15, all tell us that nobody knows when he's going to come. Jesus doesn't even know when he's going to come. It's up to the Father. Well, if you restudy the Bible, you'll find out that's true. And, you know, now there's something that happens here. People get Jesus returning in what we call the rapture, and then the second coming of Christ. You know, in the rapture, Jesus appears in the clouds. He does not touch the ground. And those, the believers, we rise up to meet him. The second coming, Jesus comes riding on the white charger, you know, with us. And they, and the battle against Satan and the nations, and that's called, that will be called the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I'm not going to get into some eschatological theological statements today, because I could, I've studied all of it, but really, a lot of it is obscure because we don't know the full meaning and the full understanding of some things. And I'm not going to get into a theological statement about when the rapture is going to take place. I know it's going to, but you see, you know, you got some people that have got it before the tribulation period, or the great tribulation period, as it's called. And you got some of it in the mid, which is, the before and the mid and then the post. Some people believe it's in the middle. Some people believe it's going to be at the end. And I'm not here to discuss that at all. My personal opinion is that it will probably be in the middle, but it could be, there's enough evidence that it could be before, but there's plenty of evidence to state that it will not be after the middle, because that's when everything really turns down bad. And there's all kinds of indications from the Word of God that the church won't be here when that happens. So I'm not going to get in an argument over it. I'm not gonna, if I was any of you, I wouldn't argue over any of this last day stuff, because none of us really know. We've got some ideas that we can put together from different scriptures. And like one man said, I got enough scripture to prove that it's before, and as many scriptures as you've got to prove that it's in the middle. So don't get in an argument over that. Okay. You know, numerous scriptures tell us that Jesus is coming back. Actually, there's at least 33 different references that we can look at in the New Testament that is called, we commonly, return of Jesus, we commonly call it the rapture. That word is not used in the Word of God, but it is obscurely mentioned in the Word. And that's when he returns to catch catching away of the saints. Now, it is repeatedly referred to by the writers in the New Testament. Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, all referred to the return of Christ, the rapture in their writings. They are not none of those are referring to the second coming. We don't get that over until we get with John over in Revelation. We get a hold of that. You know, now there are numerous times that Jesus even spoke of his own return. In Matthew 24:42-44. Watch you therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know, this tells us that we don't know when he's coming. He says here, but he's coming. That's the important thing. He's coming, and the important thing is to be ready. Some people get so caught up in all of the definitions and all of trying to figure out the chronological, when this is going to happen and when that's going to happen, that they miss the important point that Jesus was trying to get across in, and that is just be ready. You know, when Jesus was caught away there outside of, in the first chapter of Acts, outside of the city of Jerusalem, in Acts 1, 9 through 11, he said, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into the heaven.'" And then Paul describes it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." I've read that, and many other preachers have read that many, many times as we commit the body to the grave. Many times I've read that. But I sort of like the way the NLT says this. I want to read it from the NLT. "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life evermore, and are to live evermore. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies." You know, that says it a little more in our modern language. Then Paul spoke to the Thessalonians. In fact, I just got a text this morning from Earl Gleason and Daryl Huffman. They have been over in Greece and teaching in the Rhema schools, and they have been teaching there in Thessalonica. And here Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, which also is written to us, for the 4:16-17, and I've read this thousands of times at funerals. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with him." Now I want you to notice here, "We which are alive shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." That's the rapture. He doesn't come to the earth. It's in the air. You know, we can read a whole lot more scriptures pertaining to this. I've read this scripture in preaching. I've read it in funerals. I've read it in preaching revival meetings all over. And we could read a whole lot more scriptures. But I think you get the picture. He's coming again. He's coming again. The King is coming. Now, Jesus told the disciples some of the signs that would point to the beginning of his return. And here in Matthew 24:3-14, reading it from the NLT. "Later on, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and his disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will all this happen? What is the sign that will signal your return and the end of the world?' Jesus told them, 'Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Now, you know, many people say, well, where are we on the time clock, God's time clock? I don't exactly know, but I do know that I told my wife, and she will tell you, that when Desert Storm, the first part, Desert Storm, took place, I told her, this is the beginning of the end. Now, why would I say that? Because from studying eschatology, as you begin to look at this and you begin to read in Revelation about Babylon and all of this, and then you go and you look and you compare the countries now with what that was, you see Babylon is nothing more than Iran and Iraq, and all of that area there is the old Babylonian Empire, also the also the Persian Empire, and all of that. And then in Revelation, it talks about Babylon. And you begin to look on, and so that's where all of it begins to take place. That's where all of it is. The big bear coming down from the north, that would be Russia. And I could go on and on. And somebody said, well, what is all this? John says that he saw a dragon spitting fire come up out of the sea. Well, all John had to go on was some of those old foretells that talked about the grab there. That could be a submarine with a missile shooting fire out of it as it comes up out of the water. Hello. We don't know. But if you were writing today, you would have to write in description with things that you know about to describe something, right? He didn't know what a missile was coming out of the up now, but he did know about dragons coming out of the sea, spitting fire. You know, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? So maybe that's it. I don't know. That's just speculation. Okay, on my part, I don't know. But I do know that that's where it all starts. I also do know that when they talk about all the world will take the mark of the beast or be beheaded, that in the very next chapter, everybody wasn't killed because there's natural people on the earth. Hello. I'm giving y'all some food for thought because some of y'all thought about it. What world did John know? That Roman, Babylonian world. That's all the world that he knew about. That's where all this stuff is going to take place. Hello. Everybody used to wonder how in the world the whole world could see the two witnesses on the streets of Jerusalem. Very easy now with all the technology we have, right? I remember when I was a kid, they'd talk about this and they'd try to figure it out. You and Lynette probably does too, remember it, you know. But it's very easy to see how that, because now we see them. On our televisions over there as they're in war. We see it happening. Come on. See, there's so much of it we don't know. But this one thing I do know, he's coming again. And that's what we need to get beyond, you know. And there will be false prophets coming around. I've seen many of them come and go. You know, and there's always talk of some national conflicts and stuff going on. Natural disasters will occur. The spiritual condition of many will grow lukewarm, and that's actually happening today. You see many people that used to be on fire for God, used to believe in moving of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, have now gone the opposite direction. Hello. You know, there's one thing that I have talked about, and I don't talk about a whole lot, but you know, over there, the the story of the five wise and five foolish virgins. Everybody wants to compare that to salvation. But what is the theme there is oil, right? What is a sign of the Holy Spirit? Oil. This one group, they kept the oil. They had it there. They kept it going. This other group let the oil go away. And the bridegroom come, but then they knock on the door. Hey, we did this. But he said, I don't know who you are. Come on now. And I see so many people turning from the Holy Spirit and moving of the Holy Spirit and allowing tongues in the church services. We speak in tongues around here. I don't know, you know. Somebody said, well, you're going to lose some people. Well, if I lose people over that, then I guess we lose some people because I ain't going to change. Because the Bible doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's coming again, Jesus. Hello. As we begin to look at more scriptures, look at 24:37-42. But as it was in the days of Noah, so also will be, it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then the two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. The important part of this is he's coming again. The important part, be ready. Another one, it describes, hey, that sort of looks like today. People are living secular, humanistic lives focused only on natural things in the world right now, right? People giving no thought for the future with God. They live oblivious to the spiritual calendar that God has put in place. We just need to realize that the calendar is there. We have a calendar here. Every year we have a calendar. And we start out the 1st and it ends up on December the 31st, right? Well, God has a calendar and it's counting down. You know, they got a deal in front of me right there says 50. They didn't start it. It's not counting down. But back there, you see that right there? See that clock counting down? Look at that. 16, 17, 18, 19. See? It's counting down back there. Your watch is doing the same thing. It's counting down the hours of our day that we're living. God has the clock. It's counting down. When it will reach the hour, I don't know. But it's coming. You know, several things that he spoke that would happen in the earth before his return. In Luke 21:25-28, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexities, sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with the power and great glory. Now these things begin to happen. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. You know, nations in crisis, distressed, not knowing what to do. Natural disasters and all kinds of phenomena taking place. We see that happening. People living in extreme fear. You know, here, the thing about it here, we see a lot of these things, but hey, it doesn't mean that we go out and stand on a hill somewhere and look up. He said, occupy till it comes. What he's talking about is go ahead, maintain, but be ready. That's what it means when he said, look up, your redemption draw nigh. You be ready. It's coming soon. You know, we are told And Jesus gave us instructions for the last days. We're told some things. You know, number one, we should be exercising our faith in God for his promises for us here on the earth. In Luke 18:8, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So we gotta maintain the faith. Amen. We must have faith to present the gospel to the world. Number two, we should be living ready. No matter when Jesus comes back, just be ready. Anybody getting anything out of this? Amen. You know, 1 John 3:2-3. Says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And then Paul says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Living right. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Living holy. It's vital for in the last days. And we should be living ready for Jesus to come, excuse me, at any time. Nobody, we already established that fact with several scriptures, and there's a whole bunch more we could read and establish the fact that no one knows when he's coming. But it's a well-established fact from the Word of God. And I read many, many of the scriptures, but there was many more that could be read that says he is coming back. But we just don't know when. Hello? You know, sometimes people leave and they go and say, okay, I'm leaving and I don't know when I'll be back. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? But what do we know? We know they're coming back. Is that correct? We know they're coming back. Because they said, I'm coming back, I just don't know when. Right? Jesus said, I'm coming back, you don't know when it's going to be, but I'm coming back. So look for me. You know, if you leave the house and you tell one of the little kids, I'll be back, Daddy will be back. Well, they may be out in the yard playing, but they're looking for Daddy to come. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. We're supposed to be doing everything that we're supposed to be doing, but at the same time, we're looking for Jesus to come. See, looking to the return of Jesus. Now, number three, we should be preaching the gospel. Or helping somebody else preach it. But we should be doing it ourselves as a personal witness, but we should also be helping somebody else minister the gospel. Matthew 24:14 says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world to a witness of all nations, and then the end will come. That word nations there in the Greek could refer to ethnic groups and not just nations in general. You know, and we can see that because there's different ethnic groups all over the world. In other words, we've got we got Brazil down there, but we got several that Brazil is over several other Ramas in other countries where there is a large section of the people that speak Portuguese. Hello. We have John Madden in France and Ken Taylor up in Quebec that are over French speaking, and yet they've got a school down in Haiti because they speak French there. And then we got schools in Switzerland that speak French, and we got school that got also in Switzerland. They speak three languages. There's three different ethnic groups inside of the nation of Israel. I mean, of Israel. Of Switzerland, excuse me. And there is there's a group that speaks French. There's a group close to the Italian border. They speak Italian. And there's a group by the German border, and they speak German. And it's one nation. We got a lot of ethnic groups in our nation. We got a lot of ethnic groups in this church, and I love it. I like to be able to look out across there and see all kinds of different faces and people. Amen. We all just love God together around here. We one big happy family. We may be of a different ethnic group, but we all the rainbow family. Oh, we all one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you see, we are near the end. People, we are near the end. We have. I believe that the beginning of the end and how long it will be, I don't know, started back when we had Desert Storm, because that's when everything started erupting over there. Now, there's been some turmoil going on, but ever since Desert Storm, it's just been escalating and escalating. And, you know, I talked about the old Babylonian Empire, which is Iraq and Iran and that area. But Syria has been there the whole time. You can go back in the Old Testament, they had trouble with Syria, right? And it's there. And they all, you know, they don't like Christianity. Hello. I'm just going to be plain this morning. But Jesus said that in the last days, all this stuff is going to take place. So let's be ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready. We can go into all kinds of eschatological explanations and discourse and dissertations, and we can write position papers on it and so forth and so on. And none of them are really right, because we just have bits and pieces that we have about the end time to put together. The one thing I know is that Jesus said, I'm coming back to take my church out before all of this happens. And then see, you got to go back and look at Daniel's vision and the 70 weeks of his vision, and 69 of those have taken place. And we're in a dispensation called the church, or the Holy Spirit dispensation, between the 69th week and the 70th week. When that 70th week starts, I don't want to be around. And in fact, that we're in that area. That's the church age. We're in that era right now, in that area. But it's fastly coming to a close. And you know what? He said, I'm going to return and catch away. It's called catching away. We call it the rapture. My church out of there. Then the 70th week starts again, and that's another whole discourse. Y'all didn't know the pastor knew all that stuff, did you? I studied it, but the reason I don't ever preach much about it is because that's not what's important to us as Christians. What's important to us as Christians, to live in line with the Word of God, enjoy our Christian life, and to be ready and try to get as many other people ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're fastly approaching the end time. Fastly approaching the end time. I want to end this message by rolling a video. In the Winter Bible Seminar 2013, I had a mini vision, and I tried to explain it the best I could that night. I don't know, some of you might have been here. Were any of you here that night? But I want to roll that right now, video. Let's roll that.
And I have spoken through my servant a truth that I need to get to my church, because the time is short And the hour is at hand when I shall turn to the Son and say, go bring my people home. I am looking for those that are sold out to do the job that I have asked them to do. And not be concerned on whether they are popular or not popular. Whether they have a crowd or whether they don't have a crowd. But I will tell you this. If you will follow me with my power and demonstrate my power and preach my word, you'll get the crowd. They'll come to see the miracles. They'll come to see deliverance. Oh, if you could see it. Oh, if you could just see how close we are. Oh, Lord. Oh. Oh. I see that veil. Man, it's so thin, isn't it? That veil, that's the veil between earth and eternity, isn't it? Oh. Yeah, it used to be thick, right, yeah. But as time goes by, yeah, it gets thinner, doesn't it, Lord? Yes, 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 yes. Lord, I'm telling the people, I'm telling them. I know you want me to tell them that we've got to get this revelation and we've got to get it to people and we've got to get it to them quick. I understand that. Oh, goodbye, son. No, no, no. Shelebosi. Shelebosi. Oh, Lord, I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can, but. Yeah, okay. If I tell them, you'll move. I know. Okay, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I never had a vision before in my life. Oh, people. I was standing on the edge of the earth, the curve of the earth, and there was a veil, and it looked paper thin, and on the other side was eternity. I'm overwhelmed, and the Lord began to speak to me, and He said that veil used to be very thick, but now it's come to the end. We're almost there. I saw that veil. My dad had visions. I've never had one before. I started speaking by the unction of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, I guess, caught up in spirit. I don't know. I saw that. Oh, people, we are so close to the end. It's unreal. I wish I knew how to describe it to you in articulate speech. You know how when you've seen something, how real it becomes to you. And you try to describe it to somebody else and you can't. Anybody ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? That's where I was. That veil looked like you could see through it. It was so thin. And He said, that's how close we are to the end. Oh, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to get the revelation out. People are dying. They're perishing. Thank God for all of our prosperity. Thank God for all our faith. And thank God for all of this. And all of our houses and our lands. But if we let people die and go to hell, it doesn't mean anything.
We're so close to the end. It's our responsibility to be ready, but it's our responsibility to get others. That's basically what I'd preached about that night. was that our responsibility to go out and let's win the world, win the lost. And then the Lord right here gave that. I did my best to explain it. But friend, we're close to the end. It's that close. As I tried to explain it that night, as I was there, that veil was thick. And then it just did this. Got thinner and thinner and thinner until it was just, I mean, I could see people walking on the other side. You know, like, have you ever looked through a curtain and it was so thin you could see, you couldn't make out, all you could do is make out their shape. You couldn't see faces or anything. That's what I saw over in there. But then I want to tell you what, Jesus is coming again. He said to tell everybody, I'm coming again, get ready. Bow your heads, please. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you are not ready to go, if he was to come right now, you're not ready. I want to pray for you. Or if you're in this place and you know what it is to be ready, but you're not where you need to be with God, I want to pray for you. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hands right now. Anywhere in this room, this is your opportunity to change. Is there any hands anywhere? I see a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Are any hands upstairs, downstairs? If you're here and you're not ready to go, you need to get ready. We are close. It could be right now. It could be. He could come right now. Nobody knows the hour. All we know is that we are close to the end time. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Everybody stand, please. I know I saw one hand, but there might have been others that if you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, you want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want you to come on down here right now. I want you to come on down here right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. I want to pray for you. I want to be sure you're ready to go with the rest of us. Anybody coming? Come on. I know I saw a hand. If you're coming, come on. Come on right over here. Come on. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, if you're in the balcony and you want to come, just come on. They'll help you get down here. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Just wait a minute. We're going to wait and see if anybody else is coming. Probably some other people should get down here. This is your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. I'm going to wait just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Reach hands out towards we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for this lady that has come. Father, I thank you that she will receive every spiritual need in her life met today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to go with Greg and Christy to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything this morning? I hope I stirred you up enough that you'll say, hey, I got to stay ready and not let anything deter you. I hope I stirred you up enough that you'll go witness to somebody else so they'll be ready to go too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the connection room to receive a special gift. If you're looking for a church home, like we said, welcome home. Just come on and join us. Praise God. Looked like we had about 1,798 on the Rhema TV, and on Facebook we had 1,200 views. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus coming soon. We don't know when, but I'm going to be ready. How about you? Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Pastors, go to the door so we can shake hands with people. I'll be at the north door today. Hey, listen, pray for our Pray for our crusade team. We leave this afternoon. We'll be in St. Joseph, Missouri tonight. St. Joseph, Illinois tonight. If you got any people in that area, the Champaign area and all that area, hey, because it's right there, it's right next to Champaign there. Let people know we'll be there tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night. Then we go over to Omaha, Nebraska for Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Amen. Let people, if you got friends in the area, let them know about it. If you're watching and you're in the area, hey, come out and be with us. We're going to have a great time. And don't forget Wednesday night at Hour of Power, Denise and the youth from the Guatemala team, you know, that have been down there, ministers are going to be doing the services. Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus is coming soon. I'll be here to preach to you next Sunday morning. God bless. Let me get down that aisle. They're going to sing a chorus and you can be dismissed.
Oh, come on, say this. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Yes,
soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon.